Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events may help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Now let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thank you for joining me here live on Real Liberty Media, and thank you for downloading the podcast if you've done that before in the past, or you're doing it this time for the first time. So let's get through these first bit of introductory things. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I'm just a guy having fun, making light of the darkness. Hey, and could you all please post any social media sites that you are on that we are live here and have a live chat room? Maybe we can bring some people over. Be sure and catch Hal Anthony, man. I got to have a conversation with him last night. It was fantastic just to be able to sit and chat with him over the phone. Really love that guy. And let me tell you, 2 hours. Non-stop information. So be sure and check him out. Good times over there. Okay, I have secured the microphone stand, so I don't think we're going to be having any more problems with the microphone falling off. I dare it to fall off today. Let's make sure we got everything cranked up. It looks like everything is going good. And the microphone stand, 2 weeks in a row. I think the heat kind of warmed up the glue that was holding the felt pad. That was holding the felt pad on. I got rid of that felt pad, and I just super glued it to this book. I'm kidding. I didn't super glue it. Even better. I should say that I used some baling wire to wire it on there. That would be the perfectly redneck solution to that problem. But I didn't. I zip tied it, so it's not going anywhere. The zip tie is just an added piece of security for me and for the microphone. Anyway, good. We're cruising now. Man, what a week. I'm telling you, every single week that goes by, I think that I've heard everything, that there's nothing more that I'm going to find out, especially about COVID and the vaccine, but still we have some, and especially about how insane people are and how additionally stupid people are who vote for these people. It's like, I don't know, sometime in my lifetime, being a politician went from being respectful to being absolutely disgraceful. I think it started with Nixon, to be honest with you. I mean, in my lifetime, maybe it started before that, but really, the whole Nixon thing with the Watergate break-ins and stuff, I mean, that was kind of the beginning, man, and it has just gone downhill from there. I wanted to talk briefly about these ads that people are running in these cities that have been, democratically run cities. In other words, Democratic politicians are in charge of the state and the city and the counties and everything else, like Portland, for example. Now, the ads I'm going to talk about just briefly, because, politics. So the ads I'm going to talk about, I'm sure, are generalized ads. In other words, they just substitute the opponent's name in here and then run the ad through all these cities who have, quite frankly, suffered through a lot of BLM riots, demonstrations, vandalism, murders. Anyway, those Democrats are accusing, this was the funniest thing. They're accusing, Pebbles is chasing a stink bug that had somehow got in the studio. So probably stuff's going to fall down and make a lot of noise, and that's okay. We can handle it. Anyway, so these Democrat-run, you know, areas are running these ads accusing the Republicans of being supported by election deniers, MAGA supporters, and violent terrorists who, you know, believed in overthrowing the government, you know, the insurrectionists. And I just see those commercials and I think to myself, wait a minute. You know, let's just go back another year, two, three before that. And let's look at all of the violence that was taking place at the time. I don't know how many times stores in Portland had their big, giant, very expensive and thick windows shattered. I think I would have been like one time. Okay, I'm out of here. That would have been it. I would have just called it like, yeah, we're not doing business here anymore. But these poor business people probably have too much invested in where they are and they can't just pack up and leave, even though it costs them, you know, $5, $10, $20, $30, $50,000 to put their shops back together. And if you don't think that isn't coming back soon, it is. Trust me, it is. Oh, but will anybody point that out? I don't know. Oh, I'm gonna play something that I hope is going to be, I hope that you're going to find it to be as funny as I think it is. This is our illustrious President of the United States explaining, well, your guess is as good as mine. But let's listen to it, and then I'm gonna read a couple of the comments that were posted. It's so flippin' funny. Hopefully, I got this all set up right. Let's see.
We passed the look. What I ran on, I said we're gonna deal with energy.
Right.
And yeah, deal with the whole notion of global warming. We passed $368 billion worth of help, which, as the same bankers talk about, is going to bring $1.7 trillion off the sidelines in investment.
Okay, there was a little glitch there. Let's play it again. I think it'll play through.
We passed the look. What I ran on, I said we're going to deal with energy.
Right.
And deal with the whole notion of global warming. We passed $368 billion worth of help, which, as the same bankers talk about, is going to bring $1.7 trillion off the sidelines in investment.
I don't know. I just find it funny. Okay, so listen to what some people said. Here's JKH says, millions, billions on the, or trillions on the notion of climate change. And a genius says, Why do at Joe Biden handlers let him do interviews? Which, God, I gotta agree. Nancy Bishop says, how exactly do you write that number? And so Sonia says, so $1 trillion puts on gloves to fight an imaginary enemy perpetuated by global elites to money launder the $1 trillion. Got it. These people are so dang funny. Oh my gosh, I just love that. So here it is. Biden makes it clear that $1.75 trillion could help fight climate change or something. Oh, that's a good way to start the show right there. You got to admit, that was fantastic. I'll put the Bears back up as my background here. And then let's get on with whatever else I got to talk about today. Okay, hey, and sometime I just realized I can actually show you guys my show notes. Remember I was talking about this program I have? It's called Obsidian. that I absolutely fell in love with. And then I was using, I go, man, I wish I could show, you know, a couple people who are interested. I wish I could show them this. And then I actually realized in the broadcasting software I'm using for video, I can actually highlight that as a window, and the camera will have it as the background behind me, so I could just point it out to you. So I'm going to do that sometime soon. It's really, I think, pretty interesting. All right, where do we want to start? Holy cow. Oh, yeah, some homestead updates. Now, listen, this is the craziest thing, and I might have talked about this Saturday, but I don't think so. What's today? No, I didn't, as a matter of fact, so I'm going to now. So our honeybees did so well up here this year. Okay, so my assistant's dad is the one who's taking care of the bees, and he's a commercial, you know, honeybee guy. That's what he does for a living. And I bet those bears in the picture would love some honey right about now, but they're not going to get any. Anyway, he came up and gathered up the bees, I don't know, sometime last week, and then and then he called and asked if I had any pallets, and I was like, yeah, man, I got pallets around here somewhere. I don't know how many, but I go, I have like 6 or 8 of them sitting out here stacked up. I'll get them ready. So he came up on Sunday and picked up those pallets, and we were talking about the bees. And he said, do you guys still want bees? And I go, heck yeah. I go, listen, I mean, you're the bee guy. You know, if it works out for you to put bees up here, you know, so you still make money and you're still, you know, doing your thing, and we get to benefit by having some honey. I actually told him before, I'll buy the honey from you. I mean, I just wanted local honey, you know, for the medicinal value of eating local honey. But he still gave me a gallon of honey the first time he harvested. But listen to this. This is the craziest thing. So he harvested that honey, I don't know, a couple months ago. And then when he came and picked the boxes up, which I think was last Thursday, yeah, almost a week ago, he said the bees had produced as much honey as they had produced the first time again. So he got, you know, twice as much honey as, well, he had the first time. Well, what I mean is he had the same amount of honey, which makes, you know, 2 times the amount of honey as none. Follow that math. Hey, if you want a good math lesson, listen to my last show on how I kind of took down the idea that everybody could live off of solar power. Now, I know that math is pretty close to being accurate. It's accurate enough, that's for sure. I dare anybody to challenge it. So anyway, we were talking about the bees for next year, and he said, yeah, he says, I'm just going to put a pallet out there. He said it's 24 boxes. Now, this year, I think we ended up with 5 boxes or 6 boxes. I can't remember. He's going to put 24 boxes on a pallet. That's impressive. He said those bees did really well up here. So I'm really happy, number one, that the bees did well, and number two, that we're going to have bees again next year. That's really pretty awesome. So I'm, you know, I'm just stoked about it. And I'm really glad somebody else is doing it, because, man, if you don't know what you're doing, it can be hard. You know, you can lose some bees. You can, lose your complete hive or, you know, colony of bees because, you know, you do something stupid or wrong, or you don't do something at the right time or whatever. So anyway, I'm looking forward to that 24 boxes of bees next year. And it'd be fine if we just got 1 gallon again. That'd be awesome. And like I said, I'm more than happy to pay for it because I want to make sure he stays in business. Our fruit and vegetable is doing fantastic. It's like crazy. Today, I actually, right before the show, which I almost never eat before the show, and I don't know why I did it today, but I might as well finish this drink. That's my supplements. Right before the show, I had some coleslaw that Crystal made, my stepdaughter, and it was really fantastic. I'm not kidding. Like, I'm not crazy about coleslaw in the first place, except that it's crunchy. But this coleslaw didn't have any mayo in it. It had apple cider vinegar and some pepperoncinis and then just stuff from our garden. And it was so flippin' delicious, man. I was just like going crazy about how good it was and decided I better not eat anymore because, you know, it'd probably make me burp or something while I'm doing the show. So I guess we'll find out. But yeah, that was fantastic. Really delicious. All fresh stuff right out of the garden, which is cool. And you know what? Seriously, it tastes different. Like homegrown vegetables, I don't know what it is about growing it in your own local soil, but there's something about it that makes it exceptionally good. And I don't just mean that feeling that you have because, you know, you grew this food yourself. I know that has some to do with it. There's some kind of satisfaction there about, you know, pulling vegetables out or cutting them off of whatever and shredding them up and putting them in a bowl and eating them. Maybe it's that you know exactly, I don't know. I mean, you know that, you know what went in and on that plant. So if you don't use any pesticides or herbicides and you're just doing, you know, organic growing, I don't know 100% what that means, but I guess it means no chemicals. That's not true. In some areas, it means a little bit of chemicals. That's a story I did about 2 years ago. But yeah, it just tastes different. Fresh vegetables, fresh out of the garden. Oh yeah, I should mention this. My cardiac rehab is going awesome. I lost a couple more pounds. My blood pressure's great. My heart rate's great. I'm doing, you know, well, it's roughly an hour of workout three times a week down there at cardiac rehab, you know, and everything's going great. And I feel good, but I felt good before, so, you never know. All right, let's get into this. I have a couple, of stories I wanted, you know, that have been carrying on. And I want to get to this one because it's been on there for about a month. So it's at the top of the list this week. It's basically about biotech and transhumanism. But listen, this is kind of scary stuff, honestly. Not that we're not getting used to scary stuff these days, because literally, I think every 2 days, some new study comes out about the COVID jab that has more injury data in it. And, you know, it's all the stuff that many of us have been talking about for 2 years. And now I have personal experience with the injuries that the jab and the spike protein can do, even though I've detoxed pretty much constantly since I got the vax. The jab. But anyway, we are going to talk about that a little later, because I have a document that I'm going to get to it. I have a document that I was reading about what Pfizer knew about their juice before they released it. The document is everything you would think or have thought would come with a jab warning, except the title. The title actually made my jaw drop, and I will get to it in a few minutes. But let's get over this transhumanism thing first. Let me actually switch to this. So we're going to get rid of him because we don't need him anymore. Where's my story? Yep, here it is. Let me just check the feed, make sure. Okay, here we go. Executive order advances biotech transhumanist agenda. So I'm going to get, this is the story at a glance. September 12th, 2022, so just a month ago today, President Biden signed the executive order on advancing biotechnology and biomanufacturing innovation for a sustainable, safe, and secure American bioeconomy. Doesn't that sound sweet? I'm sure it is. Specified in that order is the development of genetic engineering technologies and techniques to be able to write circuitry for cells and predictably program biology in the same way in which we write software and program computers, as well as genetic technologies to unlock the power of biological data using computing tools and artificial intelligence. This certainly sounds like the world I want to live in. God, I'm glad I was born when I was born. The executive order establishes a fast-tracked pipeline of, guess what, mRNA shots and other gene therapies that will further transhumanist agenda to create augmented humans and bring us into a post-human world. That'll be interesting. Drug makers have clearly expected this free-for-all, as they have loads of mRNA candidates in their pipelines. September 14, 2022, Pfizer initiated a Phase 3 study that will test a quadrivalent mRNA-based flu shot on 25,000 American adults. I got a question for you. Where are they going to get these 25,000 American adults, do you suppose? Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. Probably nursing homes, that'll be first. And then adult foster care homes for adults who have issues that they need special care and attention. You know, Fauci's good at finding people that are expendable and testing his crap out on them. And that's in the book. I mean, you know, Fauci's history is pretty clear, so you can check it out. So they're going to test out a quadrivalent flu vaccine on 25,000 Americans. Good Lord. I can't even imagine the people who will agree to this testing. I just can't imagine. But I mean, if it's anything like the past with the CDC and NIH, the whole history there, they'll just go force it on people who have no say in it, like foster children whose parents aren't going to give or deny consent. And, you know, they're basically members of the state and you can force anything on them. I'm really getting jaded, I guess. I really am. And I think there's very good reason for it. But anyway, so I say, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Do not take any more forced jabs. How will we ever know again if any jab has undergone proper scrutiny or safety? I mean, the past hasn't proven any jabs to be completely safe, but now, fast tracking, I don't think so. Let me see what this, I don't know why I put this in here. One reason why it's important to know whether synthetic RNA creates permanent changes in the genome is because synthetic genes are patented. Oh, here you go. Patented. We were talking about this, a friend of mine and I were talking about this just last week. If they cause permanent changes, humans will contain patented genes. And that brings up very serious questions, seeing how patents have owners and owners have patent rights. And let me tell you the story, if you haven't heard it before, about Monsanto and them growing their genetically modified corn in a field next to your corn, which is I was going to say legacy corn. What's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of it right now, but it's corn that is natural corn that you can use the seeds from and grow it from year to year and save some seed and grow that corn again the next year. Monsanto, actually, there's a great movie done on what Monsanto sued farmers because, Monsanto's fields had this patented genetically modified corn in it, and if that corn pollinated your corn, your natural corn, and Monsanto would just send agents over to your field, and they would trespass into your field, and they would take some of the corn, and they would go test it, and if they found their patented genetically modified organism in your field, they sued you for infringing on their patent right. And can you imagine if that's what's going on in our bodies right now, those people who got the jab and have patented material in their bodies? Now, I think now, and especially by the time I get done with this show today, I think you'll have a pretty good idea why the push was to get this juice in every single body they could get it in. It had nothing to do with, Heritage. Thank you. That's a great word. Heritage vegetables are vegetables that, you know, have been around for a long time. They're wild. Well, wild. They're domesticated vegetables, but they're not genetically modified. They're not hybrids even. And hybrids is kind of okay, in my opinion, because you take, you know, certain traits from one plant and combine it with another plant, and you get a plant that, you know, maybe produces more fruit, and it's tastier too. But, so, you know, if you're going to have this, if you're going to have a patented something in your body, maybe that part becomes the property of the patent owner, if you can even imagine that. But that's why this juice had to get in as many people in the world as possible. It had nothing to do, absolutely 100% nothing to do with preventing the spread of any disease, because as we'll see in a few minutes, Pfizer didn't even test to see if their jab would prevent the transmission of disease. It didn't even get tested for that before it was released in the public. And that blows me away. It blows me away that, you know, the federal government of the United States pushed for a solution so fast that they didn't even ask, you know, beforehand, hey, like, what kind of data do you have on how this prevents transmission of this disease? To hear any of these people say, well, none. We have no idea, zero idea, if this is going to prevent the transmission of COVID-19. So, like I said, how do we know in the future that any kind of, you know, vaccine is going to actually be a vaccine that actually prevents you from getting whatever it is that they say they're giving it to you for? But honestly, the purpose of getting this juice into so many human beings was to collect data. That's the bottom line. It was to collect data so that they could figure out what they can do to you next. And maybe you already have the, I want to say machinery, but it's not really machinery, let's call it biological entities in you to carry out some of these things that they want to do. You know, they're just going to try whatever experiments they're going to try. You know, maybe they'll try and grow an ear out of your shoulder that they want to transplant onto one of their cyborgs. I'm not kidding about that. You know, maybe that's what this whole, maybe this is what the whole idea was, is just get this machinery, biological machinery going in human beings, and we'll find some that can actually assemble whatever, you know, a new kidney, a new lung, you know, they'll sell it as some kind of a compassion thing. That, you know, hey, we're going to be able to save so many human beings. Now, in the first place, In the first place, you got to ask yourself, is there anybody in the federal government, any federal government, any world government, any NATO ally that you actually believe is interested in saving lives or preventing deaths, healing people? No, absolutely not. I mean, they're all about reducing the population. Every single federal government out there, except maybe, you know, Putin. Uh-oh, kitty cat's going crazy. Are all about reducing the population. You know, we're so overpopulated, we can't afford to feed everybody in the world. And for the next 2, 3, 5 years, yeah, we are not going to be able to feed everybody in the world. It's really kind of getting to be, you know, concerning. Yeah, concerning. That's a pleasant way to look at it. It's getting to be concerning because there's so much pressure being put on food production, and there's so much interference going into, you know, food production and distribution. It's getting to be crazy, and people, governments keep making laws to punish farmers. It's the craziest thing. Like, you would think, in the face of food shortages coming right up, you would think that the world leaders, the supposedly good guys of the G7 or whatever you want to call it, whatever grouping you want to put them in, you would think that in a crisis where you see starvation coming, I mean, in some third world countries, definitely, there's going to be piles of bodies. There's going to be people, human being carcasses littering the streets and just rotting away because of starvation. Now, you would think if you had people in elected offices in any of these countries, that they would be doing everything in their power to do something to produce food and get it going. You know, the handcuffs they've put on themselves up to this point by following this, you know, weird green energy, you know, philosophy that is basically a fairy tale to anybody with any common sense or scientific knowledge, for that matter, any of those things. I mean, if you research it enough, you can tell this is not going to happen. Green energy, sorry. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you. It is not going to happen. So even if you wanted to hang on to your green energy agenda, kind of come back to it in a couple years, just put it on hold and go, look, we'll come back to this green energy thing, but right now it's not going to work. And we need food. We need to provide food for ourselves and our citizens and for these third world countries that we've been sending food to for years and years and years, helping them get on their feet. We need to produce some food. You know, start cranking up the oil drilling rigs. Start producing natural gas. Start doing the shale thing. I forget what it's called. Fracking, you know. Do everything to produce some frickin' crude oil, to get crude oil out of the ground and produce diesel, gasoline, natural gas, propane, whatever other gases we get from fossil fuels. Hey, how about that? Let's try that. It worked for 4 years under Donald Trump, and I'm not saying he was the greatest president in the world or anything. He wasn't. He started this whole jab business on us. But we didn't have an energy shortage. And right now we have a fake energy shortage, especially here in the United States, where one president just decided, no, we're not going to use fossil fuel anymore. We're going to shut it down everywhere we can. And we're going to triple down our investment in shutting it down. You know, the $100 billion, trillion, zillion that he couldn't even figure out when he was speaking at the beginning of the show here. But yeah, it's time that countries pull the plug on their, you know, you kind of lighten up on their green energy agenda right now. But that's only if they actually wanted to save people. Do you see what I'm saying? It would be so easy to start working toward producing more food, but they're not going to do it. Because they do not want to save people. They want people to die. Hell, probably some of those third world countries, they just go in there with bulldozers, push all those human carcasses to the side of the road and go in and take their natural resources. You know, it isn't pollution if you do it in somebody else's country. So we can just, go right into wherever, you know, and take their oil or take their gold or take their diamonds. Or take their rare earth metals for our, you know, green agenda, our electric cars and our, you know, extremely expensive batteries, expensive as in destroying a bajillion tons of earth to get the tiniest little bit of rare earth metals for your stupid electric car battery. Or covering the entire earth with solar panels so you can, you know, get the little tiny bit of solar energy that's available every day to pump it into some frickin', you know, electric grid so you can say that you're using green energy. You're not. You're not. It's a joke. And we're getting it. We're trying to tell more and more people, look, this is a joke. Stop believing it. It's not true. It's not ever going to happen the way that you think it's going to happen. Stop it. And start feeding people, for God's sakes. People are more important than green energy. The problem is, for years, decades now, we've brainwashed people to actually think that the planet is going to come to a desperate end if we don't switch to green energy right now. You know what? It's a free country. Basically, you should have freedom everywhere in the world. If you don't, I'm really sorry about that. But if you do, you want green energy, you start living green energy. Don't ask me to do it. You do it. In fact, you do it so good that I don't have to do it. How does that sound? How about you? I got a great idea. You go out, you green energy believers, you go out and invest your own money in green energy, enough that you produce enough energy, green energy, for yourself and one other person. I dare you to even try and do it. You're not going to be able to do it. Number one, and if you do, you're an idiot because it's so flippin' expensive, you'll never get a return on that investment. Never. It's never going to happen. You know, by the time you think, and you don't even come close, by the time you think you're going to get some return on investment, guess what? Time to buy a new battery, a new storage unit for your energy. Or new solar panels because they got destroyed in a storm or they've come to their end of their life because they don't produce enough energy over their lifetime to actually pay for themselves. I mean, it feels good, I'm sure, every month to be like, oh, look, well, our electric bill was only $20 this month. Or, oh, look, we sold so much power to the power company back to the grid this month. But in the end, it's not enough to cover your investment, and it's not enough to cover the replacement of parts that need to be replaced in order for that system to continue working, which I don't know why you would put money back into it when it hasn't paid itself off in the first place, but, you know, feel free to give it a go. How much time we got? Gosh, I talk a lot, don't I? Okay, I want to get to this because this was the craziest thing that I saw this week It started out with this story. Hopefully this comes up on my screen. Look at this. Unsettling research links COVID vaccine to Parkinson's. So I'm reading this story, and the first, look at this first paragraph. Let me make sure that that's on camera. So let me bring up the camera. Okay, it is. In this first paragraph here, it says, the list of complications, conditions, and diseases resulting from the COVID shots is nearly endless and can affect any organ system in the body. Pfizer knew. Here's their document. Okay, I'm one of these guys, right? When I see a link that says, here's their document, I'm going to go to that document. Because I want not only this person's opinion, which I'm hoping that they're just spitting out the truth, like telling a good story, keeping me engaged at why the COVID vaccine has caused an increase in Parkinson's disease. And by the way, this is one of the new harms we're just finding out about this last week or two by scientific research and data collection that shows that this jab is linked to an increase in Parkinson's disease, okay? So it's no longer like, hey, you know, that jab that you got last year, it may increase your chances of Parkinson's. No, yeah, it's going to. There's an increase in chance of getting Parkinson's. There's an increase in frequency of Parkinson's in people who got the jab. How about that? So I went to the document. And yeah, I went to look at, and I did look at all of the things that, let's see, it's not going to come up really well here on the screen, but I hope you can get a good look at this. Okay, I'm going to just scroll down because you can see a summary here, list of tables, list of figures, introduction, methodology, results, general overview, summary of safety concerns in the U.S., blah, 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 review of adverse events of special interest, which is interesting, yes. And then summary and conclusions down here. Okay. So if you go down there, there's a bajillion things listed throughout this document, okay? We're not going to go over all of them or any of them right off the bat. What I really want you to see is, and I hope, can you see this title? And whether you can or not, I'm going to read it to you. This is Pfizer's document. Oh. Dang it. yeah, so this is Pfizer's document. It says cumulative analysis of post-authorization adverse event reports. But what's really funny is the actual title of the document when you save it to your computer, which I can't show you right now. Maybe I can. Let's try this. Let's do download. Yeah. Oh, no, it's not going to show up for you. Sorry. Okay, here's the title of the file that goes on your computer as a PDF. It's 5.3.6 dash, this is the important part, postmarketingexperience.pdf. Post-marketing experience is what Pfizer called their document that lists all of the possible problems with their jab juice. Post-marketing experience. I was like so damn disgusted by that. And when you listen to, I listened to one of the Pfizer execs who had come out and said, oh yeah, here it is, as a matter of fact. How about that? I have it. Pfizer executive admits COVID-19 vaccine was never tested to prevent transmission. This is scandalous. In a shocking admission, a Pfizer executive on Monday stated that the company did not know if the COVID-19 mRNA vaccine it developed with BioNTech would prevent viral transmission before bringing it to market last year. What? No, they didn't know. And when I was listening to the interview, somebody did an interview with this person. Got to get a drink. Hang on. Oh, that feels good. So when they did an interview with this person, is that the person who actually said it? Janine Small, the president of International Development Markets for Pfizer, testified before European Parliament COVID-19 Committee Monday on behalf of Pfizer CEO Dr. Albert Bourla, who was summoned by the committee but pulled out of his appointment. During questions, Dutch Member of Parliament Rob Roos, R-O-O-S, a conservative and opponent of Europe's COVID-19 passports, asked Small whether Pfizer could provide lawmakers with evidence it believed the vaccine would prevent coronavirus transmission before bringing it to market. And he said, this is a quote from the transcript. Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market? He asked, and he added, if not, please say it clearly. If yes, are you willing to share the data with this committee? In response, Small said Pfizer did not know that the vaccine would prevent transmission before bringing it to market. Regarding the question around, did we know about stopping immunization before it entered the market? No, she admitted. We had to really move at the speed of science to really understand what is taking place in the market. And from that point of view, we had to do everything at risk. So you see what I'm saying about world leaders, world governments are not interested in saving anybody's life. I mean, if they were interested in compassion for human beings in general, we would be cranking out some energy in all of our countries that have been cut off by the war in Ukraine, which, oh my God, don't get me started. But I guess the war in Ukraine and supporting, you know, Nazi army units in Ukraine are much more important than feeding the world, which we've all done. So many countries, one thing that I've found out this past year, I always thought the United States was this great producer of food and sent it to all these third world countries. But guess what, man? There is a ton of countries that send food to other countries in the world, third world countries specifically I'm talking about. I mean, there's a lot of countries that produce a lot of food, and all that food goes on a national market, I would assume, somewhere. But a lot of it goes to third world countries. Because at some point in time in our past, we actually had compassion for human beings in the world, but not so much anymore. I mean, honest to God, if you look at what we're doing to children these days, and adults, and, you know, people, and in the past 2 years, you saw what we did to the elderly in nursing homes. That was basically like, because that would be kind of disrespectful to the Jewish people. But we had all these people in nursing homes and just allowed them to die, especially that Cuomo character up in New York. He actually kind of packed them in there, which was horrendous in my opinion. I can't believe that guy isn't in jail yet. But I can't believe a lot of people aren't in jail yet. I'm just hoping jail's about the least, you know, disciplinary action I could think for those people. They're evil bastards. That's the bottom line. I wanted to get back because I just was talking about these kids. Let me get to this story. Puberty blockers. This is insanity. It's insanity. It's insanity what we're doing in the world today and what has been allowed to transpire kind of behind our backs under the guise of compassion. You know, and kind of that's what I titled the show today, you know, is compassion is just another word for, you know, killing and mutilating people. What I call it, just another word for mass killings. No kidding. And especially these kids who have, let me get to this, devastating mutilation of children. Come on, baby. Here we go. Report: puberty blockers foisted upon minors proven to have devastating irreversible effects. Let me get down to that part here. We don't mind a little bit of silent air time. Yeah, we do. Okay, so let me just read some of this. Although, wait, how much time we have? Oh, plenty of time. Easy. Okay, although Democrat Circuit Judge Diana Motz intimated in August that those allegedly afflicted with gender dysphoria are disabled, a recent scientific study revealed that the real and irreversible disabilities are in fact caused by those puberty-blocking hormone injections introduced to minors under the guise of remedies. Now, some of these studies I'm going to talk about are not current studies. They're past studies. But listen to how we've kind of gone, how we got into this trap. A study published on September 19th in the Journal of Sex and Marital Therapy explained that puberty blockers, also known as luteinizing hormone releasing hormone agonists or GnRHA drugs, are not just creating sexless adults. Although GnRHA is a drug licensed to chemically castrate men, they are depleting victims' bone density, hampering their cognitive development, and producing a myriad of deleterious emotional effects. According to Biggs, boys were given an anti-androgen and cyproterone acetate, which prevented erections and caused breasts to grow. Girls, conversely, were given progestin to stop menstruation and then testosterone before being subjected to mastectomies, hysterectomies, and oophorectomies. Now listen to me. Seriously. Why are we doing that to children? And the reason I'm talking about this is because this has really happened. People have gone through these body mutilation surgeries, and here's the problem. So even as I said those words, I'm thinking to myself, those poor people at the time, they thought that they were going to transform into this mental idea that they had about being another person. I would almost venture to say that they probably thought, I won't be me anymore, I'll be a woman, or I won't be me anymore, I'll be a man. The bottom line is, you're stuck with yourself forever. So you change some parts of you, you know, inside your brain and stuff, it's still you. We're going to have to cruise because, you know, I'm going to get sidetracked. Furthermore, proponents of the protocol suggested that GnRHA was fully reversible. So here's where we went down the slippery slope. Proponents of the protocol suggested that GnRHA was fully reversible. In other words, no lasting effects are to be expected. This disproven claim was advanced, said Biggs, to avoid the question of whether a child age 12 or below could give consent to this endocrinological experiment. Among the irreversible side effects of puberty blockers was a halting of critical bodily growth, including that of the genitals, upon the introduction of GnRHA to men, the penis would cease to grow, and growth would not resume upon terminating treatment. So it wasn't completely reversible. Those who want to change their gender can't do it. You remain XY or XX. People retain their gender for life. No amount of medical alteration can change static biological realities. And basically what they're saying is, yeah, you can physically manipulate your body to look however it wants, but you're still going to be the same gender, just now mutilated, disfigured, and probably with some consequences that you weren't really thinking of. The American College of Pediatricians reportedly indicated that GnRHA agonists arrest bone growth, decrease bone accretion, prevent the sex story dependent organization and maturation of the adolescent brain, and inhibit fertility by preventing the development of gonadal tissue and mature gametes for the duration of the treatment. The surgeon who mutilated Jennings, who was one of the patients in the story, Marcy Bowers, that's the surgeon, said every single child who was truly blocked at Tanner stage 2 has never experienced orgasm. I mean, it's really about zero. And what really kind of blows me away about that entire story is that that mutilation is being done to children, right? So in my lifetime, I have seen the value of human life basically go to zero. We were all kind of fooled into, you know, the abortion argument. And I think everybody really wanted women to be able to get abortions when they need it for medical reasons. And, you know, some other exceptions. But then what happened is, well, once we devalued babies' lives, once we took value away from human life, then it was just a free-for-all. It was like, okay, well, that was, you know, we kind of kept it to the first 6 weeks and then 12 and, you know, 14, 16 weeks. And then pretty soon it's like 9 months and, you know, yay, oh, you don't want that baby? Yeah, we'll slit its throat. And that is kind of what I'm getting to. So, you know, you can mutilate a fully developed 9-month-old infant baby who actually passed through the birth canal. You know, is 9 months in development, but now they're born, they're an infant. Yeah, you can still kill that baby. In fact, the argument today is they want to be able to kill those babies up to whatever age, 2-3 years old. They, you know, they don't care. I mean, honest to God, they don't care. And there's no way anybody's going to stand and argue to me that, you know, yeah, you know, even after they're born, they're perfectly healthy, you know, we can kill them. And then you're going to tell me somehow, okay, well, what timeline is it that we're shooting for here that would kind of fit into the, you know, homicide murder aspect of a human being? Honestly, I don't know that there's a limit, because you've taken these 12, some of these kids who have gone through this mutilating surgery and who's gone on these hormone blockers, which now we know that it's not reversible. You can't just, you know, I changed my mind. You know, that wasn't a good idea. My friends kind of thought, you know, I'd be better off as a chick or guy. And, yeah, now I'd like to go back. Oh, yeah, too bad. The damage is done. And even worse, if you had the surgeries and your, you know, poor little 12-year-old body is just butchered to hell. You know, and I mean, it carries on into the streets. You know, you see crime every single day, people killing each other every single day. Portland has gotten to the point where we're having the highest number of murders we ever had. Nobody gives a crap. Seriously. They don't care. Just keep killing yourselves. But you haven't, you really haven't been doing a very good job. So we're going to speed that up by getting you, you know, vaccines and running experiments on you and that kind of stuff. Hey, thanks you guys for joining me. I'll see you guys on Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.